Well, Merry Christmas. It's great to have you here this morning. Let's get out our Bibles, if you have came with Bible, and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, as we will finish up the first Christmas series. And the title of my message this morning is The First Christmas Rush. Hopefully, for most of us, it's pretty much done, right? I think Walgreens may still be open for those of you truly, even more last minute than me, shoppers. But the rushing is not over. You know, it's not over yet. The shopping, you know, the shopping is crazy. It's nice to come to today and be done with it, because it gets crazy out there and people get cranky out there shopping. You ever notice that? And you ever hear them complaining when they're shopping? You ever listen to people while they're shopping? Maybe you ever listen to yourself while you're shopping? Listen, I read this story of a guy who, on Christmas Eve, his name was Nathan, thought it would be nice to buy his wife a little gift for the next day. You know, one of those men putting it off till the last minute, always short of money. He thought long and hard about what that present might be, and that was probably his excuse. But unable to decide, he headed into Macy's and went into the cosmetics section, and he asked the sales girl there, he said, "Hey, how about some perfume?" And she showed him a bottle. He says, "How much is it?" She goes, $150. He goes, "That's too expensive. Come on." So the lady came back with a smaller bottle. "How much is that?" $50. "Oh," Nathan grumbled, "still way too much." And so he was kind of annoyed. You know, the girl, rather, was kind of annoyed at the meanness of Nathan. And so she went ahead and just brought out the cheapest one they had. And he said, "How much?" And she said, $10. And Nathan said, "Listen, what I mean is I'd like to see something really cheap, okay?" And so she came out with a mirror. But shopping can be tough. It can get crazy out there, and some of you, like I said, still have some running around to do. You're going to visit family, and friends are coming in, and you still got maybe some last minute grocery things that you need to pick up, you know, and get busy there. But, you know, listen, Christmas, it started that way. See, we think that, well, we're in the only day and the only time we're running around at Christmas, and the busyness of the season is something that is unique to our day. But when you go back to the first Christmas, guess what? It was not just kicking back. Things weren't easy and going smoothly, you see. In fact, we read in Luke 2, "And they came in haste," speaking of the disciples. Let's just read the whole, not the disciples, the shepherds, but let's read the whole story here again. And then I'm going to just kind of tune in verses 15 through 20. "And it came to pass in those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men.' And so it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And we read here, they came with what? They were in a rush, okay? They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You see, here in our text, we see that rush that you and I are involved in is not new. In fact, it actually originated with the shepherds on this first Christmas. Which means something because it says to us, hey, rushing and running isn't wrong necessarily. In fact, it can be just a wonderful thing, and it provides great opportunity for you to share and just to for people to see God's glory. It's how we rush. The rush actually can be refreshing. You say, how can that be? It's crazy. What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is look at how these guys rushed and let's find out. First of all, in the rush, the focus was to see him. That's the first thing they did. They rushed to see Jesus. Now, to put that in practical terms, these guys dropped everything they were doing to spend time attending his birth. There's a sense of urgency and godly determination in the way these shepherds responded to this message heard from the angels by them. When these angels went away, these guys didn't let grass grow under their feet. I mean, and they didn't stand like you and I might have. I might have been tempted to stand after hearing that news and seeing one angel, pretty shiny guy, kind of freaking me out a little bit, and then hearing this news, and then all of a sudden a whole company of angels burst on the scene and they start singing and give a message. I might just kind of be slain in the spirit, if you would, and just laying there kind of. What just happened? I don't know. Wow. What do you think it means? And might have kind of got very contemplative and, you know, but these guys, just regular guys, I love it, heard the message, didn't take any time to second guess or criticize or wonder what was going on. They just simply obeyed the message. They responded and they rushed off and they found this baby. Just as had been told them, along with Mary and Joseph in this manger. Now, let me ask you a question. How does that compare with what we are rushing to do? We're so quick to speak. We so often rush to judgment. We rush to Tylenol. We rush to the doctor. But how often in the daily routine of life, especially in this season, do we rush to Jesus and say, Lord, I need some help. Lord, just, you know, touch and move in my life. Things are not going well as well as I expected and anticipated. And how quickly do we rush to help and to serve somebody else in this season rather than running around and say, well, I got things to do. And we're kind of like Martha, kind of running around. And there's no Mary time. There's no time to just, you know, spend time at the Lord's feet. I commend those in this fellowship who have given so much of themselves to serve the Lord, to serve in this body. As I look back over this last year and what God has done, and it's been such a blessing to see people step it up and to get involved and to reach out to the lost. And to be a part of a strengthening the believers in Christ. Because that is the heart of God. And that is showing a right priority. We need to rush to Him daily, making time to spend with Him a priority. How glad I am to have a Savior who is always available to me, always wanting to hear from me, who is never too busy to hear my heart for Him, you see, to deal with my problems. These guys just rushed off to see Jesus, but that's not all. Once they saw Him, guess what else they did? They left, rushing to share Jesus with those whom they came in contact with. You see, what they had been told by the angels coincided with their own experience. And when they saw Jesus and experienced, you know, the message of the angels that this one who had come to save the world, you see, to forgive sins, when they responded to this message and saw and experienced what they experienced, man, they were not hesitant at all to go and tell others. Listen, for those of you who have had your sin forgiven, who have believed in Jesus Christ today, who know that you're on your way to heaven no matter what's going on in planet Earth presently, and that God is going to provide for and take care of every need, not want. He didn't say that. He said He'd take care of every need. And then He defined needs, having food and clothing. Have you had food today? Yeah, you've had food, haven't you? Anybody not have food today? Okay. Clothing. You had clothing? You got clothing? I think you got clothing. If not, whatever you've painted on your body looks like clothing. He said, having that, be content. Guess what? God is taking care of our needs. In fact, if we'll be honest, we have a lot more than our needs taken care of by a faithful God. We got more than we need. In fact, in this country, so spoiled are we by His grace and His goodness that most of us are not out busy working hard to provide just for the needs, real needs. We're really busy getting some of the stuff we want. And that's not bad to get some of the stuff you want. What's a bummer is you complain when you got so much. That's the bummer. These guys, because God had met them and they experienced His work in their life like we have, then guess what? They could not shut up about Him. How is it that we can often keep quiet about the greatest thing that's ever happened to us, the greatest person that we've ever met? We're in a world where, in a society where increasingly they're saying, you can't say Merry Christmas, you can't say Jesus, you can't say, well, stop me. Go ahead, punch my lights out, stop me. I'm not going to shut up. What do you mean I can't say something about the greatest person that I've ever met in my life, who has changed my life so radically, and you expect me to shut up? Why would I? How could I? You know what? When I got saved, man, I haven't shut up ever since. And most of you can verify that. You know, you're going, yeah. You see, these men had a message. They knew of a world that had serious problems and that desperately needed the peace and to know about the person that these angels announced to hear that message. It was a lost world. It was a confused world. Many were dying. It was lost because men lacked direction, spiritually primarily. It was lost because of a lack of revelation. They had lost their compass morally, and there was all kinds of perversity in the world to which they brought this message. Not unlike today. The world needs to fix the problems. They need Jesus. They don't need more money or different rulers politically or to have some kind of a rebellion and anarchy. What we need in the world is the same Savior. The message to these disciples is the message that we still need to proclaim today. A Savior has been born in the city of David. His name is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is God Himself. He is the Lord. He is an absolute control of everything. He has a plan and a purpose for all that He's created, including you, especially for you. You see, that is the message. We need not to back down or cower to those that are threatening. Because there's only one way for this world to be saved. There's only one way to make lasting change in your lives, in my lives personally, in your family, in this community, in this world. And that is to give your life to Jesus Christ, because He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. These shepherds faithfully, once they had seen, took that message and went to everybody that they knew and even people they didn't know and proclaimed that message to men and women in their day. You see, but note this as well. Maybe the reason we're not so bold about it is because we're not rushing to see Jesus on a regular basis. They proclaimed that which they personally had heard and seen and experienced of Christ. You see, you can't proclaim with any real authority the message if you've spent no time with Him personally. Then thirdly, we see not only a rush to see Jesus and a rush to share Jesus, but we see the results of this time with Jesus. What is it? Well, these shepherds, it says here in Luke 2, verse 18, all who heard them proclaim the message were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now, there's two kinds of amazement. One is merely a temporary fascination with something unusual. Several years ago, I remember on Christmas, we had an unexpected snow. We get those in the high desert every once in a while. Some of us were actually praying today that we might get some, huh? God, please, just some unexpected. That would be so cool. And it's fun when you kind of realize and have a white Christmas. Maybe it's this, the old romanticism of the whole thing. And, you know, we've all sang the song and seen the movie, right? And so, you know, you kind of want that kind of a thing. Of course, on today, I'd want it after church is over and not before you get here because of the safety and driving. But when that happens, when those kind of things happen, you know, there's things in our lives that surprise us. Now, of course, just like several years ago when we got that snow on Christmas, once it melts, we don't really give it a second thought. In fact, some of you forgot probably did we ever have snow on Christmas? I don't even remember it. See, that's how quickly we forget. That's a temporary surprise. But then there are the second kind of surprise, and it's a holy surprise that we see here. It's an amazement, a proper amazement, and wonder at the acts of God that are beyond our human comprehension. There's those things that, as I shared yesterday evening here at the Christmas Eve service, there's those things that we look at in the universe as we launch the Hubble, as we are looking deeper into the universe, that surprise, shock, amaze, astound us as to what's going on there. Trying to discover, we're amazed.